Mark chapter 2 and verse 1. If you're there, say amen. Mark chapter 2 and verse 1 again. He entered into Capernaum after some days. Say some days. And it was noise that he was in the house. Listen, when Jesus shows up, someone's going to know about it. And straightway many were gathered together insomuch there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born afore. And when they could not come nigh to him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. When he saw their faith, he said, your sins are forgiven. I want to preach to this church for just a little while on the subject about, I want to preach about a lame stretcher mentality. I want to preach about a lame stretcher mentality. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your people that have gathered here today. I pray that you'd speak to us. Pray that you would touch this church, change us, affect us. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. You may be seated. I want to tell you that I believe we're going to have revival. I believe we're having revival. When I talk about revival, I am talking specifically about a harvest of souls. I believe God's got a harvest for this church. And as we get closer, I believe it's God's will to grow this church beyond what we can even hope or imagine. But the problem is not with the harvest. The problem is with the laborers. Jesus said in Matthew 9:37, the harvest is plenteous. But he said the laborers are few. It doesn't matter how ripe the harvest is if we don't have laborers who are actively interested and engaged in the work of the harvest. Touch your neighbor. Say, it's time to get involved in the work of the harvest. I want you to ask your neighbor, are you a laborer in the harvest? I believe if we're going to have the revival that God wants to send, we need more laborers. We need healthy, strong, focused, prayerful, worshiping, committed, and unified laborers. We need more laborers in the kingdom. As your pastor, I'm concerned about what happens in this building. I know and I'm aware that the church isn't this building, but this is where we meet and this is where God chooses to put his name. And so my goal is as pastor to help perpetuate an atmosphere where God can move. When we gather in this building, something of spiritual significance needs to take place. I want to say it again. When we walk through those doors, something of spiritual value and significance needs to happen in this building. And for that to happen, we have to have the right kind of atmosphere. How many know the atmosphere that we create matters? Often the atmosphere that we come into is bound and is cold and is tight. And it's resistant, and it's up to us to take responsibility for every service. Somebody shout every service. And we've got to make sure every service is conducive to a move of the Holy Ghost. I am preaching to this church. We've got to take responsibility for every service. I don't care if it's a Wednesday night. I don't care if it's a Saturday night prayer meeting or it's a Sunday worship service. We've got to take responsibility and have a move of the Holy Ghost. Somebody shout yes. When I say we, I'm talking about all of us. I'm not just talking about the musicians and the praise team and the pastor and the ministry team. I'm talking about all of us. If we're going to have a spiritual encounter, we've got to have an atmosphere that is supernaturally charged by the power of the Holy Ghost. Nothing less will accomplish it. Nothing less will bring revival. We have to have a move of the Holy Ghost. In Mark chapter 2, there were four guys trying to get their friend to Jesus. I want you to notice that Jesus is on the inside of the house preaching, and the only way that they could get into his presence is to have a breakthrough. A breakthrough. In every service, we have to make a decision that at some point we're going to have a breakthrough. Can I get an amen in the house? Turn to your neighbor and say, the pastor's preaching right now. I said, in every service, somebody say every service. We can't afford to go through a service without having a breakthrough in the Holy Ghost. We've got to have a breakthrough. You know why? Because that's where the glory is. That's where the healing is. That's where the victory is. That's where the power is. That's where the anointing is. We got to have a breakthrough in the Holy Ghost. Now I want to tell you, it's not always easy to have a breakthrough. These guys had to climb on top of the roof. They had to tear away the structure. And the Bible said they had to break it up. When they had broken it up. Sometimes we come into the house and some things have got to be broken up. There's always going to be something that stands between us and a move of the Holy Ghost. And it's not always the enemy. Sometimes, I would say most of the time, it's our carnality. How many know that carnality is the greatest enemy of the church? The devil's not your greatest enemy. Carnality is your greatest enemy. The Bible said in Romans 8:7, the carnal mind is enmity against God. The carnal mind, the fleshly mind, is the enemy against God. Carnality is not necessarily sin, but it's not being spiritual. You see, we're going to have to fight tiredness when we come to this house, carnality. We're going to have to fight weariness when we come here, carnality. We're going to have to fight stubbornness, carnality. We're going to have to fight carelessness, carnality. We're going to have to fight faithlessness, carnality. And in every service, we've got to make a decision. Are we going to sit back and settle? Are we going to have a breakthrough in the Holy Ghost? I don't know how you feel, but I'm not content just to show up and walk out the door the same way we came. I say we had a breakthrough. I say we've got to have a breakthrough in the Holy Ghost. Can I tell you, we need a breakthrough in this service today. We need a breakthrough in this house today. We need a breakthrough in the Holy Ghost. Somebody shout yes. This guy was lame and he needed to get to Jesus. But I want you to notice he couldn't get there by himself. The Bible said he was born of four. He was carried by four men. Thank God there was somebody that cared enough to pick this man up and get him to Jesus. And I want you to know that every time we gather in this house, there are going to be people sitting on these pews, sitting to your right, to your left, in front and behind. And the only way that they're going to get to Jesus is if we pick them up and we take them there. Every time we gather, these pews are full of lame people, hurting people that can't get to Jesus alone. And if we don't pick them up and carry them, guess what? They're not going to get there. If we don't pick them up and carry them, they're not going to ever get in the presence of God. I want to tell you something today. Our praise, our worship, our prayer, our concern has got to be sufficient to change the atmosphere enough to get people into the presence of God. It's my responsibility and it's your responsibility to usher people into the presence of God. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm preaching that if we're going to do that, we've got to come to church on purpose. We've got to be intentional when we walk into this house. When you're getting up in the morning, you need to be thinking, God's going to do something great in the house today. When you're driving down the road, you need to be expecting that God's going to show up. When you pull on the parking lot and walk through the door, you ought to be expecting God to do something great in the house. We've got to come to church intentional. Intentional. And if we're going to do that, we've got to praise Him. There needs to be some praise in the house of God. The Bible said He inhabits the praise of His people. How many know that God loves praise? God desires praise. God wants our praise and our worship. That word praise means to extol, to honor, to lift up, to laud, to rave about. How many know that He's worthy to be praised? He's worthy to be lifted up. Now I want to remind you that praise is a verb. Say praise is a verb. You can't praise someone to be quiet, silent, or still. Because praise is an action word. It's a verb. If you're going to praise, you got to open your mouth. If you're going to praise, you got to lift your hands. If you praise, you got to dance. If you're going to praise, you got to shout. Because praise is a verb. You know what David said? Praise shall continually be in my mouth. I get concerned when I say, let's praise the Lord. And all we've got is about 20 seconds of praise. You ought to learn how to praise God for 10 minutes. You ought to learn how to praise God with your mouth for 10 minutes. David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. And His praise shall continually be in my mouth. You ought to have a praise in your mouth at all times. Come on, let's take about 30 seconds right now and give God some praise. Thank you.
Stop waiting for someone in the mic to praise Him. Why don't you praise Him? Stop waiting to hear the preacher praise Him. You ought to praise Him. You ought to praise Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm starting to feel something change in the atmosphere. You can't praise Him and Him not show up. You can't praise Him and Him not do something in your life. Hallelujah. 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 I feel like someone's getting on the roof. I feel like someone's getting ready to tear the roof off the house. I feel like someone needs a miracle. Someone needs a blessing. Hallelujah. Be seated for just a moment. I want to tell you, praise will break through things. I said praise will break things that you can't get through on your own. I can't tell you how important praise and worship is in the house of God. In Psalm 35 and 18, David said, I will give thee thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people. In Psalm 104, David said, enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. In Psalm 135 and 1, he said, praise ye the Lord, praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise Him, O ye servants of the Lord, ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God, give Him praise. In Psalm 150, he said, praise ye the Lord, praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. And when He closed the book, He said, let everything that have breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. If you have breath, you ought to be a praiser. You ought to be a worshiper in the house of God. What are you preaching? I'm preaching. I'm preaching. It is not enough to simply get people into the house. What we do after they come is even more important. We've got to get people to Jesus. We've got to usher people into the presence of Almighty God. And if we're going to do that, it's going to take all of us. It's going to take every one of us to usher people into the presence of God. Now for just a few moments, I want to preach about the guy on the stretcher. Because this guy on the stretcher has palsy, and I call him the lame stretcher guy. Where's he going? You'll find out where I'm going in just a moment. This man had palsy, and palsy was a general term for permanent movement disorder. It caused physical disability, mainly in areas of the body and with movement of the body. And so what they have a problem with is sensation. They have a problem with depth perception, and they have a problem with communication. He was sick of the palsy. Now, that sounds like some people that attend church. They can't move very much. They have a problem sensing when God shows up. They have a hard time perceiving what's going on in the realm of the spirit, and they don't communicate their praise well or effectively. Does that sound like anybody that you know? You see, the problem with being lame is that you always have to be carried. Someone's got to pick you up and carry you. If he was going to get anywhere, someone had to take him there. Now, I realize, as well as some of us here in this building, that some people can't help that they have a legitimate lameness issue. I want to tell you, as we grow and as God gives us that harvest, we're going to have people coming through the doors that are lame. They're hurt. They're wounded. They're discouraged. They're going to have a lameness issue. In every church, there are those that need to be restored and healed. And it's our responsibility to help them get a breakthrough. It's our responsibility to get them to Jesus. In Galatians 6 and 1, Paul said, if any man has a fault, if he's hurt, if he's wounded, if he has a weakness, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. Only spiritual people can get people to Jesus. That's why some people don't worship. I'll tell you why, because they're not spiritual. That's why some people never come to the altar. They're not spiritual. That's why some people never pray. They're not really spiritual. They can't even help themselves, let alone help somebody else. And my problem is not with those that are hurt legitimately. My problem is with those who are lame, have always been lame, and they don't ever plan on changing. They've been lame for years and years, and they have no intention of ever being healed or being different. I want to just say that there's nothing wrong with being lame, but there is something wrong with staying lame. It's all right if you come into this house and you're hurt and you're wounded, but it's not okay if you stay hurt and you stay wounded. How many know that God's a healer? How many know that God's a deliverer? How many know that God wants to raise you up from that sick bed? God wants to heal you of your discouragement. God wants to set you free from that sin and temptation. God wants to send deliverance into your life. God wants to do it. And I want to tell you, God can do it. I said, God can do it. You don't have to live with that depression. God can do it. You don't have to live with that physical sickness. God can do it. You don't have to live with a wounded heart. God can do it. God can do it. Now I want you to notice how he's referred. He's referred to as one sick of the palsy. He's sick of the palsy. He's known for his disease. He's known for his hurt. He's known for his sickness. He's known for his depression. He's known for his doubt. And I want to tell you that if we're not careful, our infirmity can quickly become our identity. The man doesn't even have a name. The scripture doesn't give him a name. It just says it was one who was sick of the palsy. Palsy had become his identity. And if we've been in this a while, we shouldn't have to be the one that's always being carried. If you've been in the church very long, you shouldn't have to be the one that people have to pick up constantly and encourage and strengthen just to keep you living for God. I want to tell you, I get tired and weary of trying to pump people up that just don't want to pray, don't want to fast, don't want to be faithful, don't want to come to the house of God, don't want to do what they're supposed to do. I'm tired of lifting you up. I want to lift the sinner up. I want to lift the backslider up. I want to reach for those that have significant issues that need help. It's one thing to have a problem. It's another thing to do something about that issue. And if we've been in the church for a while, we shouldn't always have to be the one that's being picked up and carried. I want to thank God today for those who always help bear the weight. There are people in this church I can count on. I know you're going to be there. I know you're going to show up. I know you're going to be faithful. Thank God for those kind of people. Thank God for people that always come to pre-service prayer. They don't have to be coached. They don't have to be drawn. They're just going to show up because they know it's pre-service prayer. Thank God for those that always worship. There's a handful of people I can count on. They're going to worship. It doesn't matter if anybody else is worshiping, they're still going to get on their feet. They're still going to clap their hands. They're still going to lift their voice. Thank God for you. Thank God for you. Thank God for those that will always support the ministry of the word. When the preacher's preaching, they're going to shout. They're going to say amen. They're going to get on their feet and clap and support. Thank God for you. Thank God for those that go out of their way to greet the guests and greet the visitors. Thank God for you. But we've got too many on stretchers that either don't want to walk or they can't walk when they ought to be the ones that are help lifting. We got too many people that want to take a place on a stretcher that want to help lift somebody up. Now I want to tell you something. When you're lame, you have no lifting power. When you're lame, you can't help anybody. When you're lame, you can't do anything to lift anybody up. For every one person that's lame, did you know it takes four other people to make up for that one? And in Mark chapter 2, the ratio is 4-1. You've got four men carrying the cot, and you got one man on the cot. That's 80% carrying and 20% riding, and that's pretty good. But in the church, it's often 1-4. It's only 20% carrying and 80% of the church doing the riding. Have you heard the statistic that says that 20% of the people always do 80% of the work? Have you heard that? 20% of the people do 80% of the work. I think it's time we change that statistic. I think we ought to change the statistic, and it ought to read 80% do the work and only 20% aren't doing it. We need a little more consistency out of the saints. Look at your neighbor and say, oh, yes, he did. Oh, yes, he did. I'm going there. I said we need a little more consistency out of the saints. It is not okay to sometimes be on and sometimes be off. It's not okay to sometimes show up and sometimes you don't show up. It's not okay to sometimes be a worshiper and sometimes not be a worshiper. It's not okay to sometimes be a praiser and at other times you're not a praiser. You're a lame stretcher mentality guy. I say we need some people that are going to be lifters. I need some heavy lifters in this church. I need some saints that say, Pastor, I'm here for you. I'm going to help carry the load. We're going to have a breakthrough. We're going to have a move of the Holy Ghost. We're going to get into the presence of God, and God is going to do something great in this place. Come on, clap your hands and give the Lord a great praise. That's a lame stretcher mentality. I said, that's a lame stretcher mentality. Sometimes you're on, sometimes you're off. Sometimes you're up, sometimes you're down. Sometimes you're in, sometimes you're out. That's a lame stretcher mentality. We need to mature and get to the place where we can be a help and not a hindrance. We've got to get to the place that we can be a blessing and not a burden. We've got to get to the place we can be an asset and not a liability in the house of God. We've reached the place where we need everybody in the body healthy and functioning. Let me say it one more time. We've reached a place. We need everybody in the body. Look at your neighbor. Say, that includes you. Tell them we need you healthy in the body. We don't need you to stay lame. It's okay if you're lame, but we don't need you to stay lame. We need you to become healthy. We need you to be healed. We need you to be delivered so you can help carry the weight and not be a weight. Someone said you may be a redneck if. You may be a redneck if you've been married 3 times and still have the same in-laws. You may be a redneck if you think Taco Bell is a Mexican phone company. You may be a redneck if you think a chainsaw is a musical instrument. You may be a redneck if you've ever hit a deer with your car intentionally. You may be a redneck if your mother wants more ammo for Christmas. You may be a redneck if you think a subdivision is a part of a math problem. You may be a redneck if your boat hadn't left your driveway in 15 years. You may be a redneck if you burn your yard rather than mow it. Well, you may be lame if you don't think you need to change anything. You may be lame if you don't think church is important. You may be lame if your worship isn't consistent. You may be lame if you need someone else to move before you move. You may be lame if you need someone else to worship before you worship. You may be lame if you need someone to stand before you stand. You may be lame if your response to the presence and word of God is dependent on how you feel. You may be lame if you rarely come to the altar. You may be lame if you need a certain song or a certain preacher to inspire you. You may be lame if you need a miracle before you can praise Him. You may be lame if your contribution to a move of the Holy Ghost is simply showing up. That's a lame stretcher mentality. And I want to ask you today, who are you? Which one are you? Are you the lame stretcher guy? Are you the guy that's laying on the stretcher? Or are you one of the ones that's helping lift and carry the load? I think it's time we do a self-examination. Who are you? Are you the lame stretcher guy? Are you the guy that needs a healing? Or are you the one that's helping heal? I want you to notice the Bible said he was sick of the palsy. It doesn't say he was sick. Not with the palsy, but he was sick of the palsy. And if God's ever going to deliver us, heal us, set us free, someone's got to get sick of being sick. You got to get sick of being sick of the palsy. You got to get tired of being a lame stretcher guy. You've got to get tired of it. This guy was so sick of the palsy, so much that when Jesus said, take up your bed and walk, the Bible said immediately. It didn't happen in 2 days, 5 days, 10 days, 7 weeks, 7 years. But immediately he arose and picked it up and went forth. I want to tell you that Jesus wants us to be healed. You say, I've been hurt. Well, we've all been hurt. But I got a word for you. Jesus wants to heal the hurt. I'm dealing with depression. I've got a word for you. We've all been depressed. But guess what? Jesus wants to heal that depression. I have some doubts. Well, guess what? We've all had some doubts. But Jesus wants to heal you of your doubts. I've got faithfulness issues. Guess what? We all fight with faithlessness. Faithfulness issues. You think I want to come to church every Sunday morning? You think I want to get up here and yell and scream every Sunday? It's not that I don't want to be in the house of God. It's what I know I have to go through to get to the house of God. You see, you've got to understand where the issue is. You've got to identify what the real issue is. Because if you don't identify it, it's going to overwhelm you and it's going to overcome you. And you're going to become the lame stretcher guy. It's not about not wanting to be here. I want to be here. I just, sometimes I don't feel like I have the strength to go through what I got to do to get here. But guess what? That's not going to stop me. I'm going to be healed of that. I'm going to be delivered of that. I'm coming to the house of God. I make you a promise. Every time the doors are open, if I'm not sick, I'm going to be here in the house of God. I'm going to be here because I don't want to be a lame stretcher guy. Hebrews 12:12. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. You see, you can only be sick so long, you can only be lame so long before you're actually turned away. You were facing God, but you got lame. And because you refused to be healed, you got turned out of the way. It'd be a shame for God to take his hand off someone's life in this building just simply because you were lame and you refused to be healed. Lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. But this is what he said, let it rather be healed. Paul said, I'd rather you be healed. I don't want you turned aside. I don't want you turned out of the way. I don't want God to take his hand off your life. I don't want God to remove his anointing off your life. I'd rather you be healed. I'd rather something supernatural and spiritual happen in your life. That there would be a transformation. That there would be a Holy Ghost change. You know, that's what we really need. We need a Holy Ghost change. You can't will yourself to change. You can't hope yourself to change. You need a Holy Ghost change. A Holy Ghost change. And I'm here to tell you that if you'll let Jesus, he will deal with your lameness. If you'll let Jesus, he'll speak a word to you and he'll heal your lameness. It's time for somebody to get sick of it. Sick of it. It's time for someone to get sick of their depression, sick of their doubt, sick of their fear, sick of their inconsistency. It's time for somebody to get sick. Are you sick of being tired? I got a question for you. Are you sick of being lame? I got a question for you. Are you tired of being weak? Are you tired of being feeble? Are you tired of being fragile, ineffective, unproductive, and useless? Are you tired of it? If you're tired of it, if you're sick of it, Jesus will heal you. Jesus will heal you. Get up and do what the Word is telling you to do. Jesus said, arise. And when he said, arise, that man got up. You've got to obey the Word of the Lord. I wonder, is there anybody in this house Anybody in this place that I'm sick and tired of being sick. I'm sick and tired of dealing with this depression. I'm sick and tired of being the person I've always been. I'm ready for a change. I'm not looking for an emotional change. I'm looking for a spiritual change. Is there anybody in this house that's willing to step out and walk down to this altar? Is anyone willing to step out first and say, I'm going to prepare the way for someone else to come? Maybe you're here and you don't even have a need for yourself. Maybe you're not coming to this altar for yourself. But you need to step out and walk down to this altar. Because what you're doing is you're carrying somebody else. You're letting somebody else know it's okay. You can come. You can come. You can come to the altar. God will touch you. God will heal you. God will strengthen you. God will strengthen you. Almost every service, I'm going to tell this church, reach over, lay your hand on somebody and pray for somebody. I've been doing it for years and years. I'm going to keep doing it if I have to. But you know why I do that? Because I'm trying to get some people to rise up and not be the lame stretcher guy. I'm trying to get some people to be the lifters. I shouldn't have to constantly ask this church during prayer, reach over and lay your hand on somebody. Connect with somebody. You ought to do it naturally because you're a lifter. You're not the lame stretcher guy. You're not the lame stretcher woman. You are the lifter. You're the lifter. You're the lifter. Does anybody want the ministry of lifting? Does anybody want the ministry of lifting to rest on you? If you want that ministry, I want you to lift your hands right now and say, God, let it fall on me. Lord, let the spirit of ministry fall on me. Let the spirit of ministry rest on my life. I'm tired of being the one that constantly has to be prayed for. I'm tired of being the one that always has to be encouraged. I'm tired of the one always looking for a fresh word. I'm ready to become a lifter in the house of God. If you want it, lift your voice right now.